NOAA research scientist Jeff Short says deep-sea water corals were just recognized as being extensive in Alaska waters in the last 15 years. Enormous gardens of these corals have been discovered not only in the Aleutian Islands, but in the Gulf of Alaska, as well as in southeast Alaska. He says almost half of the corals lie in water depths of 200 meters or shallower, which is directly vulnerable to acidification from surface mixing. And he says we are in danger of jeopardizing the integrity of these coral communities before we even know what is really there. Without a doubt, Short says, CO2 emissions from fossil fuels are responsible.
Unlike with climate change, there are very few alternatives, really none, apart from controlling emissions to avoid this outcome.
Short says as CO2 concentration in the atmosphere goes up, it drives more CO2 into the seawater through simple equilibrium partitioning.
This is the same process that occurs when people who make carbonated beverages increase the concentration of CO2 in contact with just regular old water, and it makes fizzy water. Same physics involved.
But when the CO2 increases in the seawater and combines with the water molecule, it produces carbonic acid, and that undergoes a reaction which produces a bicarbonate ion and a proton, which increases the acidity of the ocean. Short went into a fairly lengthy description of how the chemical equilibrium works. He says the net effect of increasing CO2 in the atmosphere causes it to interact with H2O and also with a carbonate ion to produce two ions of bicarbonate.
Now, the reason this is so critical is because you hear this term, ocean acidification, and you think acid, but most of the biological effects, at least the ones that we know about, are not really associated with the acid per se. They're associated with the depletion of the carbonate ion, and that's because that carbonate ion is what an awful lot of creatures in the ocean use to make shells.
That makes basically any organism that grows a shell particularly at risk. The poster child for oceanic acidification is a fairly obscure snail called a pteropod. Some of the first work on acidification focused on these snails, and Short says until recently, except for a handful of people, the scientific community hadn't realized the seriousness of this issue. But he says this research exposed the pteropod to conditions that are going to be present in the North Pacific habitat in the next 40 to 50 years, which opened the eyes of scientists.
And it shows the shell disintegrating within 48 hours of exposure to those conditions. So this suggests that these animals will have a very difficult time surviving if acidification progresses along the business-as-usual emissions path for CO2.
The pteropod may seem insignificant, but besides providing baseline data for ocean conditions, it's also a very important part of the Gulf of Alaska food web.
Pink salmon, in particular, accumulate up to 45% of their body mass from preying on these snails. So their loss in the Gulf of Alaska could have direct impacts on fishery productivity for at least pink and probably chum salmon as well.
Short says we have very little time to control this downward slide. He says following the same emission patterns that we are, coral reefs worldwide will be depleted in about 50 years. He says the big things that need to be done are to put a moratorium on new coal-fired power plants worldwide and to figure out a way to capture carbon from existing power plants. And one caller from Harvard suggested scientists should also educate our political leaders on these issues.
You have either you or any of your colleagues briefed your governor on this important topic?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Looks like that'd be an important thing to do.
Short says a crash program involving conservation and developing alternative energy sources is also needed because, he says, fossil fuel combustion is definitely the culprit. In Sitka, I'm Bonnie Sue Hitchcock.